Well, we have all been there. You hop in the car after a draining day at work. You flip on the radio just out of habit, but you're not listening to it. And you are replaying the events of the day, and you're thinking about what's coming up tomorrow, when all of a sudden you realize that you're going through an intersection. Was that light red or green when I went through? I don't know. In fact, I can't think of any of the intersections that I've gone through since I left work. I have been operating my car on autopilot. I'm going through the motions. Or maybe this has happened. You're headed to Walmart, just a quick in and out, you say. You're in a hurry, but you've got some things that you have to get. But just your luck, you run into that one acquaintance that's particularly long-winded, that one that's got all kinds of things to say that you couldn't care less about. But you're smiling and you're nodding and you're making direct eye contact because you want to be polite. But you are not listening. You're just going through the motions. Or how about this one? It's presentation day. And you put a little extra effort into looking nice, and then grab your project and you're out the door. No big deal. You're not nervous until you get to school. And you notice that your project stands out, but not in the right way. Everybody has been pouring all of their heart and their soul and all of their creativity into these projects, but you've hardly put in any effort at all. You've just been going through the motions. Well, we all know what it's like to go through the motions. But have you been going through the motions with the Lord? Has your faith walk been on autopilot? Has the Lord been speaking to you, but you've just been sitting there smiling and nodding, but not listening to what He has to say? Have you been lazy with the things of God? This morning we're going to see what it looks like to go through the motions with our relationship with God. We're going to look at two times in God's Word where God's people went through the motions. One time before they went into exile and one time after they came back. And so if you're not already there, please open up with me to the book of Isaiah, just about in the middle of the Bible. Page 566 in your pew Bibles. And we're going to read Isaiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 10. Isaiah 1, 10. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams, and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations, I cannot bear your evil assemblies. Your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Now God says, I have no pleasure in your offering. He says, you're making a mockery of my temple. You are making a trampling of my temple courts. Your worship is burdensome to me. I won't listen to your prayers. Stop bringing meaningless sacrifices. Now, why does he say this? Well, first of all, he's not talking to Sodom and Gomorrah, even though that's how he begins this passage. He's likening his people Israel to Sodom and Gomorrah. Their sin had become so repugnant that he's calling them Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, they are still offering sacrifices. They are still observing all the festivals. They're still gathering for worship. They're still going through the motions. But their worship is empty. They're just going through the motions because their heart is not in it. More importantly, because their life is not in it. You see, there was this significant disconnect between the worship they were offering and the life that they were living. We know from other passages that Israel during this time were struggling with idolatry. They were worshiping Yahweh, but they were also worshiping the gods of the nations around them. We also know that corruption was a big part of this society. Leadership was far from godly. The haves were taking advantage of the have-nots. And those with power and wealth and influence were oppressing their Jewish brothers and sisters. See, going through the motions can look pretty innocent. It can just look like being in a daze or being spaced out or being in a fog. But the reality is that going through the motions turns into hypocrisy. Because think about it. At its core, going through the motions means something, doing something without thinking of it. It means doing something without caring about it. It means doing something while exerting very little effort. It's where the outsides don't match the insides. Well, that's hypocrisy. And when you perpetuate that, it gets worse and worse, and your heart becomes more and more hardened. So do you have any inconsistencies in your faith today? Are you taking your relationship with Jesus seriously? Are you growing? Are you investing in that relationship? Are you listening? Now, maybe you're doing all the right things. Maybe you're offering those sacrifices, observing those festivals, but your life isn't right. Maybe it's a public sin that anybody can see, but maybe it's a private sin that you've never shared with anybody. Or maybe it's a deep, inrooted sin of your heart. Bitterness, anger, rage, hate, apathy. Well, stop going through the motions. Stop offering these meaningless sacrifices. Let's get to these real issues of life and faith and stop messing around with all this fluff on the outside. Because God's not impressed by it. And it doesn't do us any good. See, God wants you. He wants your attention. He wants your passion and your commitment, and He wants your best. That leads us to our second passage this morning. In the book of Malachi, chapter 1. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. It's on page 801 in your pew Bibles. Isaiah addressed Israel before they went into exile. And we see that going through the motions was a major contributor to them being sent into captivity in Assyria and Babylon. But Malachi is addressing God's people as they come back from that exile and they begin to resettle the land. And I wish that I could tell you that they learned something by getting sent to exile. But they're dealing with the same kinds of things. They're going through the motions again. And so let's read Malachi 1, 10 to 11 and see how they were going through these motions. Oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty, and I will not accept offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations from the rising to the setting of the sun. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to my name because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. Now, in Isaiah, it was stop bringing meaningless offerings. Here in Malachi, it's useless fires on my altar. In Isaiah, it was your sacrifices have become a burden to me. Here in Malachi, it's I wish someone would just shut the temple doors. In Isaiah, it was, I will not hear your prayers. Here in Malachi, it was, I will accept no offering from your hands. Now, what's going on here in Malachi? Why is God saying this again? Well, if we look at the verses just before what we read, and if we look at the verses a little bit afterwards, we find out that Israel had not been giving God their best. Not only that, they were offering crippled and diseased animals as sacrifices to the Lord. Verse 8 says, when you bring blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Will he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Now, what is it that you call a sacrifice that doesn't cost you anything? What do you call a sacrifice that doesn't cost you anything? I don't know, but you cannot call it a sacrifice. Because by definition, a sacrifice, something has to be sacrificed. It has to cost you something. It has to be of value to you. And so when they were offering blemished animals, not just animals with a spot on them, but animals that were crippled or animals that were diseased, they were offering worthless worship to their God because they couldn't eat that animal. They couldn't breed that animal. They couldn't even keep that animal around as a pet. But that's what they were giving to their God for worship. Well, what sacrifices are you making for the Lord in your life right now? What is following Jesus costing you? Now, we know that salvation is a free gift. We don't need to buy our salvation. We don't need to earn our salvation. The Bible says it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is a gift of God so that no one can boast. We don't buy it. We don't earn it. We receive it. But living for Jesus, worship, that does cost something. If we want to worship our King, then we have to give Him something. If we want to live our life for our Lord, then we have to give Him something. It has to cost us something. This love that we have received freely, this love that the hymnist says is so amazing, so divine that it demands my soul, my life, and my all. Well, you can't do that if you're living your life on autopilot. And you can't do that if you're just smiling and nodding when God is speaking to you but not listening to what He's saying. And you can't do that if you just don't care enough about Jesus to put any effort into growing in Him. So now what do we do? Well, let's go back to Isaiah 1 here. And verse 16, again, that's page 566 in your pew Bibles. And let's keep reading Isaiah chapter 1, and let's look at verses 16 to 20 now. If we have been offering meaningless sacrifices, if we have been giving God just our leftovers, what can we do? Isaiah 1:16 says, "Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." So here we see that the Lord is calling us to repentance. He's not calling us to a repentance where we're just sorry about what we did. That's not what repentance means. Repentance means to turn. And not just to turn by stop doing what we're doing. Okay, look again there at verse 16. Stop doing wrong, yes, but learn to do right. It's not just about avoiding the bad things, it's about doing the good things. We have to, if we're going in this direction, we have to stop, turn around, and then we need to walk in this direction. That's what repentance biblically is. So it's not just about expressing regret. It's about pursuing Christ-likeness. And so if we want to stop going through the motions, then we need to live for Jesus. Now, the Lord is patient, and the Lord is kind, and the Lord is slow to anger, and the Lord is abounding in love, and the Lord is full of compassion, and He's gracious. So we see even from that passage in Isaiah that the Lord's heart was that his people would repent and turn back to him so that he could forgive them, so that he could make their sins as white as snow, as white as the wool on a sheep. And not only that, to then bless God's people in the land. He said, though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. Friends, if you have been going through the motions with your faith, I want to encourage you to seek the Lord out and repent and get back on track with Him and pursue that Christ-likeness, because His heart is for you. He's the God who leaves the 99 who goes after the one. He's the good Father who welcomes back the prodigal. He wants you in fellowship with Him. And He wants to bless you. Lastly, I want to draw your attention this morning to a passage we read last week during our call to worship. You don't have to turn there. I'll just reference it from Psalm 51. This was a passage that reminds us that it's not about the sacrifice. It's not about what's on the outside. It's about the heart. So in Psalm 51:16, David said, "You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise." And so, my friends, let us today throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Let us not go through life on autopilot, failing to pay attention or be intentional about what we're doing. Let us not just smile and nod and pretend that we're paying attention to God. Let's actually listen to Him and do what He says. And let's not even just fail to try, giving God our second best and our rejects. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, that author and perfecter of our faith, and let's live the life that He is worthy for us to live for Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we see from Your word that Your heart is for us to come to You, to live for You. Lord, we can all say that we have offered You our second best, our third best, even our rejects. But Lord, that's not what You're worthy of. Lord, You're worthy of our all, our entire being. You invite us to come and follow You and to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow You daily. So Lord, we will do our best to do that. And Lord, we will fix our eyes on You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.